Good to see you all here today. Lovely. Now, then I wonder if you have ever thought of a joke and you think, well, it isn't a bad joke. In fact, I think it's a pretty good joke. And you feel that you should tell it. But then you realise you've got to tell it straight away. Because of the setting, because of the actual context that you are in, you realise very quickly that this is the only opportunity that you will ever have to tell that particular joke. That opportunity won't come ever again, so you've got to make a quick decision. Do I tell that joke or don't I? So I think back to a church council that I was leading a few years ago. They were thinking about the preachers for special services. They said, oh, there's a special service anniversary or something on July the 4th. They thought of possible preachers. They thought of a preacher called Mrs. Vaughan. Mrs. Vaughan. Can anyone see where this is going? No. Right. Well, it's a good job I didn't tell the joke to you lot, isn't it? Goodness me. Quite a few years ago, a fairly violent film came out called Born on the 4th of July. So I thought of saying to the church council meeting, aha, Vaughan on the 4th of July. But I chickened out of it because I thought they probably won't have heard of the film. And if they have heard of the film, then they probably aren't too keen on me referencing such a violent film in a church council meeting. So the opportunity to tell that joke went forever. And then there was another joke happened in the 1990s. This was John Major was PM. And he had this big campaign. You heard of his big campaign back in the 1990s? Back to basics, it was called. We've all got to get back to basics. Now, subsequent happenings, events, demonstrated that perhaps that rule wasn't strictly adhered to in all cases. Shall we say that? But we'll draw a discreet veil over what happened after that. Anyway, the time was back to basics. Everyone was talking about, we've got to get back to basics. Well, I happened to be visiting someone in hospital at that time. I went to the ward I thought the person was in and was told, oh, he's moved to a different ward. So I went to see him. He was in some discomfort, leg on a hoist, loads of bandages. Oh, he was in quite a bit of discomfort. So I saw him, prayed with him, blessed him, then I left. A fortnight later, I found out he was still in hospital. So I thought, well, I feel I should go and see this person again. So I went to the hospital, back to the wards, but he wasn't there. I was told, oh, he's moved back to his former ward. So I went back to his former ward. I asked the question, where is this man, so-and-so? The person at the nurse's reception station said, he's just down there in the sixth bay, down there. Can anyone see where this one's going? Come on, tell us. He'd gone back to bay six, you see, yes. He was back in the sixth bay, so I marched up to him and I thought, right, I have a joke. I was about to say, hello, I see you've gone back to bay six. But I looked at him, his leg in a sling, oh, he was in discomfort. I thought, this is no time for levity at all, the poor man's really suffering. So I didn't tell the joke at all. So then, however, if you think about it, back to basics and back to basics, could we have the expensively produced visual aids, please? Already up there, back to basics, and the first one is back to basics, you see. There you are, back to basics. Think about those two things, back to basics and back to basics. Because if you think of those could be two pictures of the church, the Christian church, and how people see the Christian church and what the Christian church is all about. Let's take the first one, back to basics, that one there. Some people say, this world's immoral, this world's very materialistic, which is very, very true, of course. And so the church is the place where really high standards should be displayed. One thing the church should be doing in terms of standards, in terms of the Ten Commandments, in terms of morals and so on, is to get back to basics. We've got to get back to basics. And some people say the same thing, back to basics there, in terms of truth. They say people these days, they're believing all sorts of nonsense. There's New Age nonsense. There's some weirdo philosophies floating about everywhere on the TV, the media, and so on. What the church needs to do is to get back to basics, the basic truth about God, the basic truth about Jesus, the basic truth about the Bible teaching. That's what we need to do, get back to basics. But then, could we have the second one, please, Megan? Thanks. We see back to basics. Some people would see the primary role of the church as being very, very different indeed. They see the church as a hospital. People are sick. People are wounded. People have problems. People have various addictions. People have difficulties in relationships. People need lots of care. People need healing. People need wholeness. The church needs to be a sort of Bay 6 where people who are wounded and sick and unwhole can come and be made whole. And some people might go even further in terms of Bay 6, and this is correct, I believe, because they ask the question, what can the church do that others simply can't do? And one thing the church can do that others can't do is to display and to demonstrate the power of God so that people can be physically healed, mentally healed as well, by God's power working, where the health service, for all the good there is in it, cannot help. The church should be, they say, a place of miracles, a place of wonders, a place of signs where God is always known to be present and experienced and where the oppressed can be set free. Back to Bay 6. Now, both those pictures are true of the church. Both those pictures have real value in them. So what I want to do this morning, and if you thought the sermon was finishing, that's just the introduction. What I want to do this morning is to look at these two pictures of the church in conjunction with Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. So then getting back to basics, Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus was completely obedient to God without sin. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus went through terrible temptations, of course, but Jesus shows us very clearly what a full human life is like. When people think of the perfection of Jesus, or even when people think of reaching perfection themselves, they think of themselves as somehow down here. There's the very high standard up there somewhere. So all of life has to be straining and striving all the time, frantically striving, sweating, really perspiring, really trying to reach that unattainable goal, so it seems. And perfection is maybe making it or just making it. There's a standard up there. Lord, I feel tempted to think an awful thought. Please help me, Lord, not to think that awful, terrible, naughty thought now. Oh, thank you, Lord, I've come through it. Thank you that I didn't think that thought. Thank you, Lord, I haven't. Oh, that's 20 seconds I've gone. I've been perfect for those 20 seconds. Now I carry on. Oh, goodness, there's another thought. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, goodness, there's that person coming up to me. I can't stand them. Oh, dear, oh, Lord. Ah. If you think of the life of Jesus, Jesus was very, very laid back. He was extremely laid back at times, so it seems we don't get the impression he was always frantically straining and striving to reach this life of sinless perfection, although he was, we believe as Christians, sinless. What happened was that Jesus was always, every day, fully filled with the love of God, with the power of God. And he therefore showed us completely the light of God in quite often his laid back way. He would doodle on the ground at times. We're reading John chapter 8, don't we? Jesus very, very laid back indeed. Jesus always determined, because he loved the Father completely, to be always obedient to the Father. He did what the Father required. He had a God orientation, you could say, a complete God orientation, and a complete others orientation too. He fulfilled God's law and purpose. So Jesus is truly light, truly back to basics in terms of standards as well. But Jesus also takes us back to basics. If we could have back to basics, the first back to basics up there, please. Jesus also took us back to basics in terms of the truth of God. People say we should get back to the truth. Well, what is God like? And Jesus clearly showed us what God is like, because he is light, the light of the world. In his world at the time, in the Greco-Roman world, there were, of course, lots of myths about God, or the gods, should I say. These gods were very, very flawed, so-called divine beings indeed. They were full of immorality. They were always fighting battles in the heavens and so on. They were pretty nasty pieces of work with the Greco-Roman gods. But if we look at Jesus, he's the light of God. And the Christmas story tells us of the incarnation. The Word became flesh. God became a human being. The light of God was displayed and demonstrated in human form, in a human being. That is Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh. Now, if you read the papers or look at the media these days, TV, radio and so on, there's lots of fear about. There's lots of fear about possibly cancelling Christmas. That Christmas could be cancelled. But if you read a bit further in the articles, what does this amount to? There could be a slight shortage of turkeys. There could be a shortage of pigs in blankets. I heard this morning, perhaps a bit more, in fact, very, very seriously, there could be a shortage of books. Well, that is serious, okay, righty-ho. There could be a shortage of Santas, so I'm told. Well, and possibly restrictions on movement and that kind of thing. I've got some good news for you this morning. Christmas isn't going to be cancelled, because Christmas cannot be cancelled. Because the great truths of Christmas, the fact that God became human at the first Christmas in Jesus, these great truths of Christmas, these truths abide forever. And Jesus shows us by his life, and supremely or culminating in his death, that at the very heart of the universe, there is sacrificial love. There is sacrificial love. There's a series about the universe on TV at present. I haven't seen the first episode, but I've read all about it, led by Brian Cox. And there's lots of things in the series, so I've been told, to wonder at. Some quite amazing statistics and things about this world, this universe that we're part of. But at the root of it, and he said so himself, I'm not being judgmental at all here, at the root of his approach is an atheistic philosophy. It's full of ultimate doom and gloom. The sun's going to burn out in billions of years. Things will be dark. Things will vanish forever. There'll be no eternal meaning or purpose in anything at all. All the acts of love, all the great creative things that people do will ultimately have no meaning whatsoever. Everything will burn up, full stop. And at the heart of this attitude, this approach, is this atheistic philosophy, which is very, very depressing indeed. There's a terrible darkness that will last forever. The Christian message is completely and totally different, that the light of God continues forever, that even if the sun does burn out, the light of God will continue forever, and that light has been shown in Jesus Christ. So the Christian church is where we can get back to basics, both in terms of showing the light of Jesus Christ in the way we live, the perfect sinless Son of God, and also the truth about God, the great truths about God revealed to us in the Bible and supremely in the person of Jesus Christ, which does continue forever. The light of the world. Let's go back to Bay 6, if we could. Megan, please. Back to Bay 6. Jesus as the light makes us whole. This is where sick people come to find wholeness. And people are sick in all kinds of ways. That's where the church, and they speak of the church in terms of the gathering of Christian people, wherever it is. Wherever Christian people meet together, doesn't have to be a building. Jesus makes whole because Jesus offers to you and to me complete forgiveness, and that complete forgiveness is purchased through the cross. There's lots of horrible stuff floating about at present on social media. There's lots of vile hatreds. There's lots of abuse, and people might say, well, in these days, wickedness is abounding. And they blame social media, they blame Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and WhatsApp and all sorts of social media outlets for this. But I want to say, perhaps it's foolish to blame social media. Because what social media is doing is bringing to the surface what is already there. It's already there in people. It's simply bringing it to the surface. Because all of us are sick. All of us, without exception, are in desperate need of healing, of being made whole. All of us, that's very, very true. You may say, well, that doesn't really apply to me. It might apply to that dreadful person who read about in the news the other day who did that awful thing. But that doesn't apply to me because I don't do this or I don't do that. Well, we shouldn't be too judgmental. It's right to say that acts are wrong. Of course it's right to say that certain acts are wrong. But we shouldn't be too judgmental. Because if we're always comparing ourselves favourably with other people, we could ask ourselves the question, if I had the same background, if I had the same upbringing, if I had the same influences, if I had the same problems, if I had the same genes, dare I say, even, as the person I'm condemning, then how would I have turned out myself? And we cannot answer that question at all. Now, it's Halloween today, so there's something really frightening now for Halloween coming up. If you're scared, then close your ears now, okay? Something rather scary for Halloween. This is it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you examine your deepest thoughts and your deepest motives, not just your actions. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to examine, to see right into the heart of your deepest thoughts and your deepest Motives. Ooh, that's scary. That's scary for Halloween or for any day. But there's the Bay Six. We're being made whole by Jesus Christ. There are some good things in the Methodist tradition, and one good thing is the so-called four alls, the four alls of Methodism. Actually, they should be the four alls of the Christian faith, really, because this is the Christian faith. Four alls. They go like this. All people need to be saved, to be made whole, to be forgiven and made whole inside by God. All people need to be saved. The second all is all can be saved. The third all is interesting. All people can know that they are saved. Everyone can have assurance that God loves them and they're part of his eternal family. And finally, a little bit controversial, both in Wesley's day and in ours, all people can be saved to the uttermost. All people can be completely and totally and absolutely saved. All people saved to the uttermost. In other words, don't put limits on what God can do. Never put limits on what God can do at all. And this is for all. Complete forgiveness through the finished work of the cross and power to be made new, to be given a new life, to have new strength, to have a new motivation, to experience a new birth, to see the light, to see the light. That's what it really means, to see the light in Jesus Christ, and not only to see it, but to respond to it in our hearts, and to receive it, or to receive him in our hearts also. And still going on back to Bay 6, where the church, where the people of God, they're a place of healing and being made whole. Jesus in his life revealed the power of God. He revealed the power of God, which can make people whole. Something we've sung about already, Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus walked on water. Jesus fed 5,000 people, just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus healed countless people. Jesus, on at least a few occasions, raised the dead. Jesus cast out evil from people. And in the early church, it says in the book of Acts and the letters as well, they would preach the word with signs following, with miracles following, which backed up the words. And down the centuries, there have been some Christian groups that have believed that and also practiced it, and miracles have happened. Miracles, countless ones, have happened down through the Christian centuries, and they're still happening today. And all of us should be hungry for more of God's power. It's so easy to drift along, and here I do preach to myself first. It's so easy for us all to drift along. But as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20, the kingdom of God isn't talk, but it's power. It's power. So we see that the people of God, the Christian church, also back to Bay 6, this is where you can come to be made whole and experience the power of God that will make you whole also. Just a word on this. Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, one of the great I am sayings of John's gospel. But in our first reading, Matthew 5, 14, Jesus says something interesting. He's looking at his disciples, not at all people. He's looking at his disciples and he's saying, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world if you follow me. You're being called to reflect that light. He was looking then exclusively at his disciples, but in fact he is calling all people, those who now aren't his disciples, those who are far away from being his disciples, to follow him, to reflect that light. We're all called to reflect his light, his love, his compassion, his truth, his power, and his way of life. Back to basics, back to basics, and showing the light of Christ. One point I do wish to make, that in our Christian witness, if we're thinking about back to basics, back to basics, then we need to get the right order. Because if we're witnessing to people outside the Christian faith, if the focus is on basics, could get back to basics, if we focus on that, we will fail. And rightly so. Because we cannot just go around trying to impose standards on non-Christians that they cannot keep without God's help. And if we're honest, we struggle at times to be able to keep with God's help. Let's face it. We cannot just go around saying, do this, do that, and you'll be a better Christian. You won't become a Christian at all by doing that. By simply trying hard. We also can't go around saying, you've got to believe this, you've got to believe that, you've got to believe the other. Because to go around imposing doctrines that people's minds cannot accept won't get us anywhere at all. So the focus in Christian witness, I suggest, should be get back to basics. To basics. That should be our focus. It's right to define the terrible sickness. Wesley did, certainly. He would preach the law first and grace afterwards. He would preach the law, that we're all trembling, then God's grace would overflow. We can define the sickness, but we must never, ever even hint at telling people to cure themselves. That is not the gospel. That's an anti-gospel. So our focus is basics. We can define the sickness and then basics. Offer God's love. Offer God's forgiveness. However bad people are, however rotten their lives are, if they're rotting away in jail, offer them new life. Offer them the light of God. And then, once God has been revealed and experienced, back to basics, standards, morals, and back to basics, Christian truths, they'll fall into place. Because God's power will be there. There'll be a new desire, a new motivation to follow the Master. There'll be the Holy Spirit indwelling people. People open the Bible and think, goodness, that makes sense. I can believe these truths now because God's Spirit is with me. There's a whole new world here in place to follow the Master. Light and darkness. Today, darkness is being celebrated by the secular world. There'll probably be all kinds of ghoulish things going on. People often dabbling with danger. We're called to do something different. We're called to reveal the light. We're called to reveal the truth, the light and the power.